The Tom Woods Show, episode 811.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, I got some free ebooks for you to help you answer some of the most common objections to libertarianism. One of them is 14 Hard Questions for Libertarians Answered, then Bernie Sanders is Wrong, then Education Without the State, and more to come. Check him out at tomsfreebooks.com. Hi everybody, Tom Woods here. Lou Rockwell comes back to the show by popular demand. We're going to talk about just some current events, what's going on in the news. Obviously, Donald Trump's always going to be in the news. Some of the Trump appointments we might talk about, the whole Russia controversy. Let's just see what's on Lou's mind. Of course, you know Lou is the publisher of LouRockwell.com, which all the good people are reading every day. He is the chairman of the Mises Institute, also its founder, Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org. He also served as chief of staff to Ron Paul, and all around a great guy and a great benefactor of mine, and I'm always delighted to talk to him. Lou, welcome back to the show.
Tom, great to be with you.
I got some issues I want to raise with you, but we were just talking, and I was starting to think out loud about all the dirt there must be on all these Democrats. I mean, Republicans too, but I'm just thinking about, given that the Democrats were concerned about the hacking, they were the ones worried that something embarrassing might get leaked. And it seems like when all is said and done, Lou, the Podesta emails were mildly embarrassing, but hardly earth-shattering. Couldn't they have produced something, I don't know, better?
Well, you know, the idea that this was the Russians doing it, I think, is ridiculous. I think it was clearly a WikiLeaks operation, no more than the Russians gave WikiLeaks all the State Department emails that they released a few years ago. So it's was interesting to see it. I thought one of the most significant things was the clear indication that Podesta's brother and Podesta himself were involved in some kind of satanic spirit cooking festivals, and who can doubt that sort of thing goes on in the highest realms of the government and of the power elite?
Oh, but everybody's been downplaying that, saying, "Oh, you're reading stuff into it that's not there." But when you put all the different language together, the way they're using words in ways that normal people don't use words, there is obviously something fishy. This is not some crazy theory developed by somebody. When you listen to the way they use certain words, they're not using them the way everybody else uses them. Why is that? What's going on here?
Well, I think there's, you know, if we think of how the mafia binds a new member to them and can be pretty sure they're not going to go to the cops, is by having them murder someone. Now, once you've murdered someone, then they feel that you can be trusted. So within the power elite, are there ceremonies that people take part in that would ruin them if they became public, and therefore they can be trusted to not turn state's evidence or whatever, if the state could be trusted, obviously. So I think there's no, you know, this is the elite, the power elite, the people who are actually running things are a pretty sicko bunch. They're not nice people. I don't care whether it's Henry Kissinger or George Soros or many others who belong to these various organizations where very odd pagan and worse rituals go on. Why are they doing that? Are they just having fun like boys at summer camp, or is something else going on?
Yeah, that's always the excuse. Oh, we participated in this extremely bizarre ritual that was caught on camera. These are just people letting off steam. Oh, yeah, because, of course, you know, I always sacrifice something to Moloch, Lou, when I'm letting off steam.
No, of course, this is typical in all these organizations. So I think it's suspicious. I think Podesta and company is suspicious, and I certainly don't let the Republicans off the hook. I think there's much sicko stuff there too. These are just not nice people. We don't want them running our lives. We don't want them starting wars. We don't want them being able to assassinate people. And so this is just, for any libertarian, this should just add to our impetus to try to do what we can to expose these people and to take power away from them so they're not able to perform the evils that they have performed for so very long. And I know that if maybe people listening to this for the first time think, well, Rockwell's just nuts as usual because he's talking about satanic business. But if anybody is interested in this, and it's, I must say, it's a chilling thing. And I remember the great Eric von Connaught-Ledin telling me he was interested in it. And then he, after some experiences he had, he decided he better not be interested in it because it was, this is very, very, very alarming stuff. But if you want to look at the RT, thank goodness, filmed the opening recently of the magnificent Transalp tunnel that the Swiss built, just an extraordinary piece of engineering, Swiss engineering, for railroads and trucks and so forth going through the Alps. And RT filmed the entire opening ceremony, which was openly satanic. I mean, openly a devil worshiping thing. It's very chilling. There are shorter versions on YouTube. There's the whole thing, which is a couple of hours long, which I've not watched the whole thing because it's as I say, it's a disturbing business. But the fact that there you have all the leaders of Europe, Merkel, and all the creeps. They're involved in a what would we call it? An anti-religious ceremony. I mean, very chilling, very weird. What the heck is going on? Well, I wasn't surprised that this sort of thing took place. I was surprised they were so open about it. They do seem to be more willing to shove it in our face. So if you're interested in this, and I think one probably should not be too interested again, but take a look at some of the shorter RT YouTubes for the Swiss tunnel opening. I believe it was in June, but you have to double check me with that on YouTube. But thank goodness for RT recording all this, putting it up on YouTube and on RT itself. Maybe this is another reason that the Russians have to be bombed by the U.S. for having done this.
I know. And there's really a lot of other bizarre stuff. But I want to talk just for a minute about the whole Russian thing. This has been talked to death. But when Bob and I did the episode of Contra Krugman that we dedicated to this because Krugman had talked about the Russians did it and it's the Russians' fault. This is the most upset I have ever seen Bob. He's usually very, very restrained and level-headed on the show, and he just blew his top over this. He said, the hypocrisy of these people, he said, is astonishing because not a week earlier they were lecturing everybody about meekly accepting the election results and not giving in to wild speculation. And now you even have Michael Moore telling us we have to trust the CIA. What has happened to the world? Michael Moore, do you remember? Your name is Michael Moore and you don't trust the CIA. Do I need to tell you what you're supposed to believe? So it's totally, and the whole thing sounds ridiculously bizarre. And the thing is, if you say, oh, but there are some Russian fingerprints on this, that's how you know it's not the Russians. You wouldn't see Russian fingerprints if the Russians were doing it. They're pretty good at this, it turns out. If there were people who wanted you to think it was the Russians, there would be Russian fingerprints on it. But anyway, what is your view of it? I mean, Assange has said it's not the Russians, it's insiders, it's whistleblowers who are just sick and tired of corrupt creeps all around them.
And we remember the man who was murdered, the insider of the Democratic National Committee, who was involved in knowing, at least it was in a position to have known about this sort of thing, and who was murdered and nothing stolen from him in walking home in Washington. By the way, if anybody is concerned, never walk home in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's probably a good rule of thumb, even aside from who murdered this poor man. This is really an extraordinary piece of propaganda. I've seen nobody mention the fact that the U.S. intervenes in every single country's election on the face of the earth to try to make sure U.S. puppets win. There was a Paul Craig Roberts had up just recently a 1996 Time magazine cover of Boris Yeltsin heralding the fact that the U.S. had intervened in the Russian elections and gotten him elected. That's what the cover story is all about. Yay, we got Yeltsin elected. So there's an open U.S. agency, the National Endowment for Democracy, set up by the neocons under Ronald Reagan, affiliated with the CIA, that does nothing but try to intervene in other countries' elections. with NGOs and with bribes and with propaganda. I mean, so just because the U.S. does it all the time, of course, doesn't mean other countries aren't doing it. Maybe other countries do try to do it. Then we're supposed to believe the – as you point out, we're supposed to believe the CIA. Does anybody remember the fact that the key job of an agency like the CIA is to lie? I mean, that's just put out disinformation. Yes, they murder people. Yes, they bribe. Yes, they assassinate and overthrow regimes and all that sort of thing. But their most basic activity is lying. So we're supposed to say, well, you know, unnamed guys in the CIA are saying this, so you must believe it. Oh, well, you know, come on. I hope the rumors are true that Trump intends to crack down on the CIA. There are supposedly 17 of these intelligence organizations, at least 17 that are publicly known. Why does the U.S. have 17 intelligence agencies? Why are they so gigantic? Why are they so powerful? Why are they intervening in American elections? How about that? Well, the one group we know is intervening in the American election is the CIA, not the Russians. So I think, and again, it's always important to remember, the Russians have a GDP smaller than Manhattan's. It has a military budget a little bit less than 10% of the U.S.'s. But we're supposed to be scared of them. And of course, well, there's been a long history of the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. typically was anti-Russian. Woodrow Wilson actually bombed Moscow, the great Woodrow Wilson. Roosevelt, of course, very pro-Soviet, set up organizations like the Export-Import Bank specifically to facilitate and subsidize trade with the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union was the U.S.'s ally in World War II. So the neocons they didn't particularly like Stalin after the war. They liked it better when Trotsky and Lenin were running things, great guys that those were supposed to be. But there's, you know, so now we have, and we were constantly warned, and I lived through a lot of this Cold War business, that atheistic communism, you know, they were going to take over the world. Now, of course, we're supposed to worry about the Orthodox Christians in Russia taking over the world. And I don't know, whatever's wrong with Russia, and like any state, there's plenty wrong with it. We just have to think for a moment about what it was like in communist days. How many people in concentration camps? How many people freezing to death in above the Arctic Circle? How many knocks on the door at night and people taken away to be killed in the most horrific fashion? Under Lenin and Trotsky, there was a gigantic piece of industrial equipment installed in the basement of the Lubyanka, where the NKVD, Cheka and then NKVD headquarters. And it was an industrial screw machine that was designed to turn materials into mush to put them into a chemical stew. However, they used this to put priests, Russian Orthodox priests, they'd start them with their feet at the top of it and they'd be slowly crushed from head to toe. 20,000 priests killed. All these people, these pro-Soviet people were okay with that. Maybe they even liked that. So now we have a very different – and it was, I think, one of the most magnificent things to see that after all the official atheism, after all the persecution of Christians and deaths of Christians that took place under the Soviets, Christianity never went away. It sprung back as if it had never been – it had never been hampered in a very inspiring way. And I've never known whether Putin takes his shirt off to show he wears a crucifix – or to show his muscles or both or whatever. But even if he's not honestly a Christian, even if he's just showing his crucifix as a political gesture, that says something very good about the Russian people that would be appealing to them. So this is, you know, there's far more free enterprise in Russia, far more private property. Their taxes are not as high as our taxes. Their business taxes are not as high. So they've still got a long way to go. There's a lot wrong in Russia, like in every country. But how about remembering just what it used to be, and Franklin Roosevelt and all the Democrats had no problem at all being pals with Stalin. They thought he was a great guy. So we're supposed to – now they want to kill Putin and you're supposed to be – you know, they did. It's an alarming and threatening thing that Trump's pick for Secretary of State – knows Putin and is friendly with him. Why? You can't have that. He must hate Putin and want to kill him or whatever. Well, where does that sort of nonsense come from? So this is very alarming. I was glad to see a poll just the other day that most Americans don't believe the Russians set up the election. But even if everything they say is true about the Russians, everything the Democrats and the media are saying is true, what were the Russians trying to do? They were leaking truth to the American people in an attempt to stop World War III. That's what Putin – if everything is true, that was Putin's crime. So come on, folks. I don't happen to think I don't happen to think they had anything to do with these leaks. But even if they did have something to do with that, was their intention. They were afraid, as many of us were, that Hillary would be a practitioner of a John Foster Dulles sort of a nuclear brinkmanship. And in that kind of situation, of course, it's very easy when you're right at the brink to go over the edge. So for those of us who were concerned about the possible end of civilization, the end of life on Earth, and silly things like that, we're supposed to think that Putin was a bad guy and Hillary is the great lady. Well, thank goodness she lost. And I hope and believe that Trump will stick to Tillotson. I hope he will have friendly relations with Russia. I hope he has friendly relations with China, by the way, too. He should have tried to have friendly relations, as George Washington said at his farewell address, commercial and friendly relations with everybody who wants them with us. Trade and friendship with all the nations of the earth. That's what he should want. The people who want hate, who want war, the neocons, the Democrats, if there's even a separation these days, the Republican neocons, Lindsey Graham and John McCain and the rest of these creeps who want war, I hope they're rejected. I hope they're laughed at, kicked out of public life. And I hope that we're going to have a new era of at least less war, more peace than we've had in maybe a very long time. And the people who are the warmongers who are running these attacks on Russia right now in an attempt to bring on another war. That's also, by the way, what this is all about. It's about hurting Trump and justifying Hillary and many, many things going on. They would like to have more war. They want more war in Syria. They want more war in Iran. They want more war all over the Middle East. They want – but, you know, they'd like to have war with the Russia over Crimea. I mean, there just is an endless number of wars these people would like to start. Them themselves, of course, not ever participating in these wars. They want to send everybody else into these to die and be killed and kill in these wars. So I think maybe we have a chance for slightly more peace. Wouldn't that be a great gift to hand on to our children and our grandchildren?
You know, it's funny, the thing you said about Tillerson being considered to be friendly toward Russia and that this is a bad thing. Isn't that funny that we've gotten to a point where when you're appointing diplomatic figures – they're expected to come in with a chip on their shoulder, you know? Why would you want that? And it's funny that I'm not a fan of Terry Branstad, of course, governor of Iowa. He's anti-Ron, you know, he's everything wrong with the Republican Party. But apparently the best thing about him is that he's had friendly relations with the Chinese. And when it was announced that he would be the ambassador to China, we got a nice response from the defense minister of China saying, we welcome this wonderful friend of the Chinese people. And I thought, well, isn't that nice? I mean, even China, which Trump has to one degree or another demonized, he still, it looks like, went out of his way to try to choose somebody who would be considered friendly with the Chinese. I mean, I was actually rather struck by that.
Well, one thing that Tillotson has had to, because he's head of ExxonMobil, a gigantic corporation, and he's been making trade deals with countries all over the world, successfully, Tillotson. So, that's the sort of thing that Trump wants. I like Gary North's suggestion that if the Democrats and the bad Republicans succeeded in blocking him, that Trump should make an announcement saying, this man is my personal Secretary of State. I'm not going to fill the job. We'll have the number two guy be the acting secretary. But if anybody wants to deal with me on the following issues, they need to deal with Rex Tillotson, my Secretary of State. I'm going to pay his salary out of my own pocket and pay for his travel and so forth. He's my man. And he could just circumvent the Senate and all these people. Why shouldn't he be able to have his own guy? So my guess is they will not be able to block his confirmation as Secretary of State. But I thought Gary had a great point.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to point that out if you hadn't. He said that Trump, as you say, should tweet out, look, this is my representative. If anybody in the world wants to talk to me, they'll talk through him. I don't need Senate confirmation for this. And it would be, it would just remind them they're not dealing with the usual sort of character. So I'm willing to do a wait and see on Tillerson. But let's look at some others, because I kind of, you know, I didn't know. None of us knew what Trump's appointments were going to look like, and I can't say I'm thrilled with them. But at the same time, there have been some surprises, and they've been surprises that make me think that the left is not altogether wrong when it says a Trump presidency will really be a disaster for them. Let's take, for example, Scott Pruitt at the EPA. They're basically saying that the fate of the planet is in his hands, and it's and the planet is going to perish under him. What did you think about that choice?
Well, I thought it was great. This is a guy who's sued the EPA, who's also a climate change denier, as they put it, global warming denier. Of course, it's actually global warming is the issue, and they tried to change the subject by calling it climate change, which is, you know, like from winter to spring is also climate change. So it's I thought it was tremendous. In fact, I think all three appointments, that is Ryan Zinke as Interior Secretary and Rick Perry as Energy Secretary, I can't believe I'm saying something nice about Rick Perry. All these guys are climate change denialists. And the money, the vast sums of money that go to all the Greens and all the Al Gorean agenda, all these so-called scientists who are on the federal payroll supporting all this nonsense, they're funded by the Department of Energy, by the Interior Department, and by the EPA. If that money is even cut back somewhat, and there are rumors that Perry would like to cut it entirely back, that would just be so great to have these people have to go out and hold bake sales or something if they want to propagandize us over non-existent global warming and why the state should be put in charge of the global climate and be able to tax us and even more than they already do and control our lives even more than they do in the name of saving the polar bears. So it's true. I'm trying to look on the bright side. I'm not thrilled by there's only one possible thing that I am thrilled by, and we could talk about that in a little bit. But I thought still these three guys are not Greens. They haven't bought into all the lies about the global warming. And as we know, as shown by the East Anglia leaks in Britain and many other – the whole thing is a fraud. It's all a fraud designed to enrich people like Al Gore, has made more than $1 billion off of this, by the way, since he got out of so-called public service. So there's vast money to be made by these people, vast damage to be done. It's also a counter-religion. I mean, it really is it's a pagan religion in addition to everything else that's wrong with it. They really are worshipers of the earth goddess Gaia. I mean, it's a very, very weird, strange, evil operation in a bunch of ways. So if they're going to be cut back at all, let alone maybe even massively cut back in the dough that they're getting out of your pocket, hallelujah.
What was your impression of the choice of Rick Perry to head the Department of Energy?
Well, Rick Perry is, I think, how shall I say this? Rick Perry will not be the chief intellectual in the Trump administration.
Yeah, I was thinking probably not the chief, not the chief intellectual.
So, I guess he's in there as a representative of the Texas oil industry. He was always known as a guy who worked for the oil industry. So that can have its bad aspects, obviously. But given how much anti-oil industry stuff there is by the federal government and by the Greens, I don't know. I think there could be worse people. But again, the fact that he really has been steadfast, and I hope this continues, of course, he really has been steadfast about his global warming denialism. So if he sticks to that, if he cuts their funding – if it's a pro-energy, if he wants to drill in the Arctic and drill in the ocean and all that sort of thing that Obama, of course, is right now issuing executive order after executive order. After, by the way, telling Trump to don't use executive orders. But anyway, he's said, you know, he's got executive orders just flowing out of the White House like sewage every day until he's gone, trying to prevent the development of new energy resources. We need more energy. Drill everywhere. Let's have more oil. Let's have more natural gas. Let's have all other forms of energy freed up and available to make our lives better. So I have my problems with Rick Perry, but he certainly could be a lot better than the Obama guys. So I'm slightly optimistic about what he could mean in these narrow areas.
So tell me, Lou, what is the thing that you are potentially thrilled by?
Well, it was the fact that, as was reported, and we only got a little bit of news about it, that Judge Andrew P. Napolitano was seen going into Trump Tower. And we don't exactly know the discussions he had with Trump and with the transition people. Was it that he was being consulted about the sorts of people who ought to be appointed to the Supreme Court? That was one report. Was it that he is being considered for the Supreme Court? Or is it both? Or is it something else entirely? The judge could be an advisor on many, many different things, although, of course, he's mainly a great constitutional scholar. To think that he is going to have anything to do in this area and will be listened to seriously is very thrilling. I mean, it's a thrilling thing. And I had a friend of mine said if Trump appoints Judge Napolitano to the Supreme Court, he will already be like the greatest pro-freedom president in many, many decades. That just that alone would do it. So what's going to happen, I don't know. But I thought the whole thing was very, very thrilling and encouraging. And so we'll see.
Yeah, I am so darn curious about that meeting. So darn curious. And you know you can't ask him. So I don't know. And I don't think he drinks. You can't even put a few drinks in him and ask him. So it's too bad. But maybe we'll find out soon enough. Maybe time will tell. Who knows? But I wonder what they would. I think if they did consider the judge, first of all, because he's being appointed by Trump, anybody who's going to be nominated is going to be put through a grueling confirmation. But you remember what happened to Mel Bradford at the National Endowment for the Humanities? I think it would be that times 100. So the supporters of the judge better be ready to fight if it were to come to this. So let's prepare for a bruising battle if that should actually be what comes from that meeting.
On the other hand, unlike poor Mel Bradford, who was a very smart guy and a very accomplished scholar, the judge knows how to fight.
Oh, does he? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not going to have an easy guy. They're not going to have. He's first of all smarter than any of the Democratic senators would be going after him. He knows a lot more than they do, and he knows. I obviously don't wish anything bad upon him ever. I have a feeling that I don't know about some of these other Trump appointees. Judge Napolitano can handle himself, and I think the people who would go after him would end up being very sorry that they tried it.
Yeah, especially because he's got a lot of young followers who are very media and YouTube savvy.
And he himself, of course, is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So it would be brutal.
He's a TV star in addition to everything else about him.
Exactly. And he's got a lot of followers.
Chuck Schumer is not a TV star. Chuck Schumer, but yeah.
No, it's absolutely right. It's not only that, but also he's got a huge, huge number of followers, whereas somebody like Bradford was known by a handful of people, relatively speaking. So
that's right.
It could be brutal, but it could also be educational, instructive, and perhaps one hopes successful. But anyway, this is all speculation. We don't know what's going to come of it, but we can certainly hope for the best. All right. Well, Lou, I appreciate your time helping us catch up on some recent items and getting some commentary on that. And again, I hope we can try and talk, maybe every month about this sort of stuff.
Tom, that'd be my honor. Thank you.
All right. TomWoods.com/811 is where to go for stuff from today, and that is going to do it for us. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.